Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of Solutions to Critical Issues, where we talk about the issues of today that affect our very lives. This is your host, Henry Hassim, and we're going to start with Al-Fatiha. We say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. You know, Al-Fatiha is the most repeated verse in the Quran because it's said in the Muslim prayer. And Muslims pray five times a day, and with the number of Muslims that there is on the earth, you multiply that, you get a number that's humongous, even in one day. So Al-Fatiha is a very important surah in the Quran. We're not going to be talking about Al-Fatiha today, but that's a subject all in itself, and it probably would take months to diagnose and analyze that. But we're continuing with the subject that we started last week, and it was masculine and feminine. And we chose those words, masculine and feminine, and we know in those words we have male and female, and we have man and we have woman. So all of those words comes into the context of masculine and feminine. But as most of you already know, that when we talk about masculinity, then we're not just talking about just the male person or human being, because we know we can look at outside of the human and we find these same things in here, which we should look at, you know. When we look at the animal life outside of the human life, and we look at the fowl's life, the bird in the air, we can see some of these same resemblance. And we look at this fish in the sea, we see the same. Even in the plant life, we will see these same type of resemblance of that masculine and feminine in those communities. And, you know, in the human community, a lot of times we break it down to male and female. Well, we know when we look at the society today, something in the society, and not just the Western society, but when we look at the world, something in the society has got our thinking when it comes to masculine and feminine with different philosophies about that male gender and the female gender there, which has got a lot, you know. We could probably talk about it for years and never get to the conclusion of it. But we want to kind of break it down on the different levels. We talked about the physical. We talked about the rational. And we talked about the spiritual. And we talked about from that coming up with a logic that should make sense. And we know as generation comes, as more knowledge becomes into the world, then these things are improved on. As we say, words make people, but words don't mean. The people give the meaning to the words. So it's the same way with the masculine and feminine. So we're going to discuss that today, and we want to take it from this standpoint today as to the difference, because we discussed last week, we said, was there any superiority over the masculine over the feminine, or the male over the female? Of course, we could have talked about just that for a month. But we want to broaden out the subject to broaden our thinking into these different areas. So today, even though we still basically addressing the physical area here on the physical thinking, and we kind of explained that last week about the physical, the physical, rational, and we'll take that type of logic. And we will develop it on the different levels, the rational physical, the rational, the rational spiritual, meaning looking at these things, different areas from a rational area. But we know there should not be, if the science of it is understood, then there shouldn't be a conflict. Won't be a conflict in developing the logic. If the logic comes up and it conflicts any of these areas, then we know something is wrong with the logic. So we're going to talk about the masculine, the feminine, or the male and the female, the distinct differences. We want to understand if there's masculine, if there's feminine, what are the differences? And we'll look at that physically, rationally, and even spiritually. to give us something to think about, I know there's a couple books out. Well, there's lots of books out, but these two in particular, this one in particular, is, and I forget the author's name, but it says that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And I believe they use these different planets to just say, to kind of make the distinction between that masculine and feminine and that male and female is what basically the world on the physical level gets into. So we break it down to male and female. And you know, we have developed over generations and generation a lot of things. We talked about even how we do that man has come up with the tools. And in these tools, he will refer to one as the male, which we talk about the masculine, and you refer to the other as the female there. And we have to study why is one called the male and why is one called the female? Because it seems to be we think a little bit better because some of us were brought up in an environment that the female in the society was not treated properly. And we know as we read in the Quran, we see some of the things that was a mistreatment of people based on their gender. And we know in this society, mistreat people based on their color and all of that. So we want to go back into these areas and see how we got off on the correct logic for applying these things. So we're going to examine that today. And we invite your input on it because, and we like to hear from you. You know, if you want to bring it from the scripture, from the spiritual, if you want to bring it from the rational and the physical, we can talk about these areas today on these different levels, and then we can raise it up to the rational level and to the spiritual level going vertically because these conversations can take different directions. They can go vertical. They can go horizontal. And actually, we need to discuss both there. So we're not looking for so much a right or wrong to prove a situation, but we want to share the knowledge for understanding purpose. So when we begin to understand, then we will begin to be wiser and probably make wiser decisions or look at things in a different, but I always say a better way than maybe we already have. I know a lot of us have come up in, and from the religious standpoint, in a Christian, what we call a Christian environment. And I know there were some things that was instilled in us coming up in that environment that is still with us today. That I've talked with people of different religions, and when you get their idea on what we are referring to as masculine and feminine, or male and female, in this case, and especially when we're talking about the human being, because that's usually where these areas are addressed, to the man and the woman in the human family, then we got some ideas that don't necessarily help society, and in my opinion, it has hurt society. And it's not only in just the Christian environment, it's in other religion. We know even in the culture of different people, they sometimes take their culture and they mix their culture into their spirituality, and they begin to make that their way of life, that maybe the female, even though we're going to talk about the differences, they want to put it into a context that one is better than the other. And we see that a lot. We always look for what they call good, better, and best. And that's why we say you cannot compare the Creator as good, better, or best. And we always say that it better to just to show that there is no comparison when we're comparing that. Each has a role, and we want to talk about the distinct role of the male and the female, or the masculine and the feminine, and we want to look at it on the level. If you know the level that you're talking about, it would be good to bring us in on whether we're talking about rationally, which would be the mental aspect, whether we're talking about the physical aspect, which we'll all get in time, but if you know you're talking on the physical level, or if you're talking on the spiritual, because we have to be on that same plane in order to really understand these differences that we are talking about. So we're going to take a break right here, and we will come back, and if you have that question or comment and want to participate, then you can press 1 on your phone, and we will bring you into the conversation. We'll be right back after these brief PSAs.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM 360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
Peace be unto you. This is Kareem Hamid, radio station manager for American Muslim 360 Radio, sending a friendly reminder to all AM 360 radio hosts of the special upcoming host meeting scheduled for this coming Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuhu.
All right, okay, we're back here, and we are talking about masculine and feminine, and we want to see the difference. I know probably some of you are out there taking Arabic classes and we know a lot even in the language of Arabic is looked at in the sense of masculine and feminine, and they both got roles. But we're going to start out with the human being, looking at the human being, the male and the female that's in the human family, because that's usually where the problem is. I find that we have problems in the human family, and we can solve these same problems in other environments such as the plant family, and we apply different things to it. But when it comes to the human family, sometimes we want superiority. I don't know if it's just our personal context that we want to be. We want to be better than the others. Of course, we don't even just limit it there. We take it because of race, creed, and color, and make all those things superior to each other, or try to make them superior in there, even though we know that in our book, the Quran, it is addressed in there, and the Prophet himself also, peace be upon him, that addressed these issues of this artificial, what I call artificial mentality of thinking something is superior because just because of the color, because of their religion, or because of their culture, all of these different things that people will put up to try to make themselves better than another. And we know it also has happened when we look at the male or the woman, the man and the female, the woman. It has happened in a lot of culture, and even here in the Western culture. Even to this day, we still are debating on whether we've come a long way, but we, like I say, each generation is growing. But we know in this country, we have not had a female president. And I've heard different views on that because of those things there. We know there's even been debate on the male and the female, even in our religion there, as far as the leadership role, imams, as they say that. So we know we've had that. So it's definitely a discussion that worth discussing there to get a better understanding. Now, when we look at the male role, especially, and we look at the distinction, and I guess the question will be, is there distinction between male and female? And we know when we look at the physical area, it's really clear cut. There is a difference between male gender, what we refer to as a male or a man, a boy that we call the male. We know that there is a difference between that boy, that man, that a male, than it is a female. When we look at the physical, we can clear to see that there is a physical difference between the two, as they refer to in this case, the two sexes, they say, because they're looking at that on a physical level. And one of the biggest differences they see as the sexual difference as far as what a male can do and what a female can do. And as we said last week, that we see one male is usually referred to as the giver, and the female is referred to as the receiver or the receptacle of the giver. But it takes two, it takes both the male and the female that we discussed. I mean, I think the example was used with a battery, how a battery's got a positive a pulse and a negative pulse. And in that discussion, we were showing that without either one of them, neither the battery will not operate at all. So if you just had the positive force in there, or the male, and you did not have the female, then it won't work. If you just had a society, even of just females and no males, then we say, how long would that last? We say a generation at most, there before the whole race, human race, would be extinguished. So it takes both of them. Problem comes in is when we begin to say one is better than the other because of the distinction of the role of that male and the female. And I'm sure we have heard it on AM 364, the role of the physical role of what the male role is. And we say the male is the provider, and there's been a lot of debate. I heard a lot of talk there. We start putting economics into it. But when Allah made these things possible, it wasn't just dealing with economic or money or how much money. You know, he didn't make the male say, okay, you got to make more money than that female there, because that's on another level. He said, you are the provider. And when we look at being the provider, then we look at what is the characteristic of providing. So, but we, I think, even have gotten that mixed up. Well, if she got more money than you, than the male, then some people say they shouldn't get married if the female has got more money. That doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the male being the provider. So we get off a little bit, and that's why I want to hear from our audience here to see, so we can have a discussion on these things. Not an argument, but things like this need to be debated to a point that you can come out with a logic that makes sense. And we know we have the Quran, our book for the Muslims, that we can go in and we can, matter of fact, it's very easy to look up. You go to the back and you look at the index or the content back there, and you can look up man, look up male, these things. You can look up woman or female and these things and see where Allah addressed them in the Quran. But there, what we're talking about today, there are physical distinct differences. And what the first thing we have to ask ourselves is, these differences, does that make one more superior than the other? And I've heard Muslims say, and I agree with, Allah says that one naturally has more strength than the other because of the role of being provider. So that's just the natural thing. But we've seen in society that if the woman wants to take on more of that male role of not necessarily providing, but to do the type of work or the exercise that the man body usually go through in order to produce that strength, she can have the same strength. So now we see there are women bodybuilders that we see that in the society, and I wouldn't want to go up to wrestle one of them or to test my strength physically against one of those bodybuilding females. So it's got to be more than just that on the physical level that Allah is addressing with us. But we've had debates, over things like that, and it was, to me, not for the right reason. It was for the reason to show one, and usually that's what it is, to show one that's better than the other. And sometimes we use that strength to show that. But that's usually what it's about, to show that one is more superior than the other. And what we look at, as we use the example this week, to say that you got to have both. And both has got a role. And one role without the other role will not work. You need both. And, sometimes when I'm talking to people out in the public, I would tell them, I said, well, the role, because even if you, let's look at a company structure, even if you the president of the company, and, maybe you may make more money, and usually they do, than maybe the other workers, the skilled workers in that case. But does that make you better? But in the Western society, a lot people take on that attitude because they are the president or have risen to the level of playing the role of the president, whether male or female, that they are better than that other human being that's got a less of a role. And I think that's where society gets off. But we know that is a big problem in the society today. So I'll give you a few minutes to think about that, and we're going to take another break here and give you some time to put your thoughts together, and I'd like to hear from you to see what you think about this male. And I'd like to hear from the males and the females, because as I started it off, we said that on this book, the men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And I like to, and some of you probably have read that book there to see what is your thinking, what was the logic that you brought out, got out of that when you read it. We'll be right back.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preacher Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
All right, we're back. And before we continue here, you can press 1 on your phone if you have a question or comment. But I'd like to just maybe pause at this time to say that our hearts and our prayers go out to the people that's in Palestine and in Israel. They're good people on both sides, the good people, because we know that there are bad people that could be on both sides also. But some of the stuff that's going on over there, in my opinion, is really very inhuman. And when we say human, we're talking about all the male and the female, the children and the babies, and all some of the stuff that is being done is just it really outside of animal nature and less than human nature. But we pray and we keep them in our prayers. We hope you keep them in the prayers and ask Allah to have mercy on them and give them some release from all of the suffering that's going over in that area. But, okay, now we are open up the line. So if you do have a question or comment, do press 1 on your phone. I'd like to hear from what you think about the masculine and the feminine or the male and the female. What confusion do you see that this has brought about? Because there are confusion, and we hadn't got we just beginning to touch it. So we know there's confusion in it because sometimes we got males that's trying to be females, and then we got females that's trying to be male in this. So we got a lot yet to cover in this aspect of a male and female, a masculine, you know, if the masculine start trying to get in the feminine role and dominating it, or vice versa, then you're gonna have all kinds of confusion and conflict in the life. And like I say, when we get outside of the human life and we study the animal life, then we don't see this as much. And when we study even the plant life, and you know, there's different ways that plant life take it on. I know flowers and all, some of their pollination, some of their reproduction is through the pollen that's carried around by other insects like bees and things like this. But then there's things like trees that have a male year and a female year, you know, the tree, because they both have those attributes. So we look even at the human being, we see the human being, the male is not just all one way. What they call have chromosomes. And the male in his role, he has one dominant chromosome that the female does not. And in the role of the female, she has a chromosome in there in her role as female that the male don't. But they're both needed, especially for the reproductive, there's roles that both the male and the female. You know, a lot of times, especially in this society, the male sometimes is only as I've heard conversations saying he's just a sperm donor. He thinks that was all. That's the only role he had in bringing about this new life. It was just to donate the sperm, and then he's not seen anymore in that life. But, you know, in human life, it's different. And that's why we have to study that to see the role when a new creation is brought about, a baby, as we say, that baby, whether it comes here as a male or a female, there's role for the male and there's roles for the female in that life, because it took both male and female to be able to bring about that life. And I think these are conversations that we need to have, even with our children, to let them know about the responsibility, because a lot of people out here, and I used to say young people, but it's a lot of older people that have fell victim to these things, that they only was maybe the produce the sperm that produced the child, but the child in a lot of cases never knew the father, and that seemed to be the biggest part of the problem, and the responsibility of bringing that child up was left only onto the female. And we know that the female do have a role in bringing that child up. We know that the first need of the baby is going to be the mother, but that child also needs that father, as we called it. He needs that male to be in his life. Child is a male or female child. It needs that influence of the father. And we give different influences to the different sex of that. You know, your son, you may do different things with him than what you would do with your daughter there. So to show them that they have different roles, but there's roles in that life for the male, and there's roles in the life there for the female. And when they are understood and they work together, it makes a great, great family. Even though we know that in this day and time, you may have to bring that great family up in an environment that against the family life or the natural life that was created for the human being because of these misconceptions that we have about the male and the female. So this is a subject, I know sometimes it gets a little touchy there, but it's a subject that needs to be discussed, that we need to bring out with each other, because there's probably some things even in our own life that need to be corrected in our thinking. And maybe I said something that someone need to correct me on that may not quite go well with you. The way I explain it can be improved upon. So that's why we bring these subjects up like this, so we can discuss them. But we're talking about the masculine and the feminine. Today, the male and the female, and we're looking at the human race and seeing what you think is the difference between the male and the female, some of the distinct differences and roles that each play to provide life. We're going to go to our first caller here see what we got to say on the subject here. This is area code 401-323. Welcome to the program. State your name, where you calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Angela Marie from North Providence, Rhode Island. I'd like to know, how do you make or try to get a grown son to want to take care of his child, even though he sends child support? But, you know, and the only way he'll see his son is if someone else pays for his plane ticket to get in. But he's very sick physically and mentally. He's schizoaffective, and yes, he's very, very overweight, and he coughs every second. And he does not want to get the proper health care, and he has gangrene in his feet. He might lose his feet. But how do you get him to want to take care of his own self? And then even want to call his son or text him or send one letter in the mail. I have to force him. Okay, get a thinking of you card or birthday card. I don't like forcing him to do it. Do I just leave him alone and say, no one did that to you? Everyone took care of you, your father, your aunts, uncles, grandmothers, grandfathers, uncles. Why would you not? That's your flesh and blood. That's part of you. Why don't you want to be a role model for him in some kind of way? I say, if you can't do it, tell him why. Tell him why.
Right.
Write him a letter and tell him why you don't want to be a father from the jump street, from the beginning. So he says to me, he says, well, I was drunk when I made him. You can let his mother take care of him. That's what he said when he was born. So I said, that's a horrible thing to say. I said, that is you. And the child, his son, is so smart. He got A+ everything coming up. He was homeschooled by his mother because I got his mother to take him out of these schools that were so bad. The children were fighting the teachers. And I said, take my grandson out of there. And you homeschool. And she homeschooled him all the way up until high school from fifth grade. Because he doesn't like to fight. He's writing a book right now, bullying. He's 21 years old. He stays to himself. He doesn't get. He's very intelligent. And my son should be proud of him. He should be very proud of him. And he should be thankful that his mother and his grandmother on my grandson's side and all his uncles and everything was there for him when he wasn't there for his own son. And my sons go visit him. It's a heartbreaking thing because they say it's not good to force. But I think he needs to be forced, because I'm going to tell you the truth. He's passing away. My son is passing away. He coughed every second, and he has gangrene in his feet, and he does not want to go get the medical care. And it's hard. Sometimes we take him to the emergency, but then he doesn't want to stay. They kept him, I think, once or twice, but he doesn't want to stay. So you can bring a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. It's a mm-hmm. tough thing.
It is. It's very tough, and that's a bad situation that you don't want to be in. But we have to face the fact that we living in an environment that type of attitude, that type of mindset is promoted. I hear it a lot from that. I hear the other thing that special male figures go around bragging that, hey, I got 5-10 children and they got 5 or 10 different women. And that, for some reason, makes them feel good. And you're saying, you know, if you got them, are you taking care of them? And usually they're not taking care of any of them there. So I don't know the thing. I think we have to go to not just the physical area there. It's got a mental problem that's got to be addressed that we hadn't got into yet, that rational area of our thinking, what produced these kinds of thoughts to say that, hey, I want to go out and use the whatever excuse. I was drunk. I was this. I was that. That's just an excuse. That does not alleviate what the act that was done to produce that child. So now, because you was drunk, you don't have to. You shouldn't have to be responsible. But this is the way somebody put that.
That's true. But you know what, brother? You know what happened? Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I saw the leg. I'm going to tell you what produced it. My son used to be in Bad Boys Entertainment in New York. And he promoted for Puff Daddy with Puffy Combs, JC, and a lot of other people. That music industry destroyed him. And that's all he can think about. He's on a fixed income because he's schizoaffective and he gets a check SSI. But that's all he thinks about, music all day long. Music industry. People, wherever he goes, he can get into MGM Center, any place, any rap program, anything, by his face, and because he was in Bad Boy Entertainment. But that's all he thinks about, all that wild stuff, all that wild lifestyle and everything. That's what got him in being. He used to be on Broadway in plays in New York. He used to write his own plays, write his own songs, write his own lyrics, write the melody. But that's, I mean, he likes all that wildlife.
Well,
and
you
that's
know,
what got him.
That I found with people with that type of mind, they want to put it on the female to blame her. It's your fault that you didn't do what it took not to have a child. But they produced it. I think when we get to the rational part of this, you're going to see that there's a mental sickness, because there's nothing wrong with the physical. God has set these things in motion. But it's something wrong with our mind now. And that's what I hear describing. He's got a mental issue that has gotten him to look at life in a way that we know is destructive, and those things, and hopefully as we address this issue, we'll get to the rational part of this, the mind part of this, the thinking part of this, to say what makes a human being, because he did the physical part, didn't seem to be anything wrong with that, although he's making excuses there, but he did the physical part to produce a life, but he don't want to do the mental part as far as being able to take care of that. And I do appreciate you bringing that up, and we're going to have to talk about that even more. I appreciate you expressing, and I hope Allah bless you to be able to say something to him that would inspire him to want to deal with him, because we say words make people. And we have to tell them the truth, and you'll be surprised of telling them that. Sometimes it may hurt. but in telling them that the difference that it may end up making in their life, even if it's years later. So we appreciate the call. We're going to go to now 707-627. Welcome to the program. State your name, where are you calling from? Hold on just a second. I didn't get you in the queue. Hold on just a second. All right. Let's see if we got you.
Yeah, I said only go.
We got you there.
This is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. I said, Amalekum. And as always, starting with your word, man and woman, Allah said, we are helpmates to each other. We are half of and responsible for each other's deen. So men know that we are been, in the general sense, our job is to be the protector and the maintainer so that our women can raise the men and children that Allah has created us to procreate and bring into this world. Both understand how each other's role is. The mother teaches the daughter how to expect her husband, expect her brother, expect her father to be the protector and maintainer of her mama, so her mama can teach both of them, her brother and herself, how to be the support of each other as we grow into responsibility of parenting. You know that one of the greatest things that I have as a brother that I love is my auntie, because she know how the kid tell me, boy, that ain't right, boy, do this, do that, as we was growing up. Number two, we want to make sure that the Quran is lived. That's why at some point we get back out here and get into the convention centers, the libraries, and teach al-Islam. The problem with the sister's son is that he didn't get a chance to have the awareness of the Quran. And just like you said, told her just a minute ago, is exactly right. You have to now quote Quran to people in the best way that you can, because only the truth is going to set them free from that type of mentality, that type of disease of the mind. And then we have to take on the responsibility of knowing that we have to take care of the orphan, the wayfarer. So it's very important that we do what Allah say do, come together in shura, establish teaching of this Quran, this life of Prophet Muhammad, to the public world, and let the chips fall where they may, because we already know Allah said in the story of the wise men that there are children to be born that Allah had to take them away from here to show us that there's some of us will be going through the hellfire. Allah tells us in the Quran and in the Hadith that some human beings have been created to test us. Allah reward them. Allah's going to reward them, but we have to look at the message that is being sent. Allah said this boy is so terrible that he would have gave his mother hell from nine on if I had not let him be removed. So that you understand not to be like that your own self and deviate from what the guidance that I have given you in the Bible, in the Torah, in the Quran, and as long as you have been created, the guidance I have given you, the universal order, Just think about most of us who came into the deen here in the United States of America. The first thing the Imam Muhammad taught us, the first thing that the Imam Muhammad taught us, and what we taught each other, as far back as we can go, get in accord with the universal order. And then we should tell each other, man, you better get yourself in order. You better get in units with the world. But we have went so far away from those understandings because we left it in Shaitan, who tells us disorder, who's making an oppressive other human being to be like the sister's son. You know, give up hope because they don't see the model example of the books of Allah, of the people of Allah, in the past or the future or today. So it's very simple. We get back out here and teach this way of life called al-Islam and live it the best we can in the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It will start to heal all the sicknesses that's in the society. But it's going to take time. But all we have to do is remember we ain't Allah. See, we ain't Allah. Allah said many of hell is going to be full of human beings, not a bunch of words. But hell is going to be full with human beings. the best thing we can do for them is to save our own soul so that they won't be in the fire too long, inshallah. Because Allah is merciful. But they're so corrupt. They're so far away from and one more thing that I say. And then Allah tells us, we thank Allah for the key he gave us through the life of Imam Muhammad when he said, man means mind. But Allah said, verily, the mind is lost. And don't remember the Quran. Don't remember the Bible. Don't remember the Torah. The guidance is in those things that Allah has been giving us ever since day of our creation. But we got to cut out all this insignificant stuff and go back to Adam and Eve and the responsibility that they had to each other to remind each other. They said, before we bring these children into the world by Almighty God or Allah, we have to remember that there's nothing more important than pleasing Allah. This was the responsibility that man has with woman and woman has with man. And give it to the children, the mother, give her that protection, give her the maintenance to have an environment where she can teach not only her daughter how to make sure her brother take care of her. When I ain't here, baby, you tell her, you better watch your sister.
Right,
and that's the sister's job to make sure she make him remind him of that. I'm going to tell mama on you, boy. Mama told you don't go nowhere and leave me here alone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so basic and clear what we have to do.
It is, and I think you.
But we got to go and do it.
We got to go back even to Adam, and when we start studying that nature, we're gonna come up with a lot of solutions to the problem. The solution is already there in it. We just, like you said, we've gotten away from it. That we got to come back into it. And that just reminds me, and we got a couple other calls I'm going to try to get in before we end. But reminds me of what Allah told Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him. He says, I didn't send you to convert anybody, just deliver the message. See, a lot of times we get into what we think people are going to think of us. No, just tell the truth. My philosophy now, I tell them, I got to tell you the truth. You know, whether I like it or whether you like it, I got to tell you the truth. And if I'm wrong in the truth that I'm telling you, then correct me. And that way we'll have a better society. I do appreciate those comments there. And we're going to continue this subject here because it's important. We need to look at this. And like I say, we need to look at it on these different levels, the spiritual, the rational, because there's problems in each area that need to be solved. So we do appreciate that call. We're going to bring in our next caller again. I think this is area code 727741. Welcome to the program. State your name, where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Martha Naila Abdullah. Thank you so very much. And in light of time, greetings of peace to everyone. I just want to share this then in light of what we've heard this morning. Allah SWT is definitely in charge. When we are thinking of, and I'm going to put it in this way, when I'm thinking of feminine and masculine, and then we look at the anatomy of the body, the basic principle is that which enters and that which receives. So we see that principle in creation, even with the human being. Anything that enters, if that receives, as our mind receives a word, then that process to receive the word come as a from a masculine point, and the mind receives from a feminine point. And I'll leave it right there on that basic principle. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. And you know, we say Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Which is the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And we say both of those attributes belongs to Allah. So there's a place for both, and you have to understand the role of each. And I think that's a great part, a big part of the society misconception is we don't understand our role and what we are doing. Because sometimes the male, he don't want to show no mercy because he think that will show him as a weak male. So we got a lot of confusion in a lot of areas. We're going to go to 321-917. Welcome to the program. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, the Lacey Umar, Melbourne, Florida. Peace and blessings to everyone. Just wanted to circle back a little bit to Sister Angela's concern for her son, I guess it was, her grandson. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's a process, and Sister Angela, that, and I hope it's not too late if he got gangrene. That's a serious issue. But he can vapor act. He needs to be vapor acted. If he don't want to take care of himself, he want to endanger himself and the family, someone needs to take charge of him. You know, and you can, some of his sons or children, they can just go to the courts and get an action to have him put in the hospital. So he needs to be taken care of, and it needs to be forced on him if he's not going to do it. And if he doesn't do it soon, then you know you're gonna have a funeral. It's gonna be very simple. You're gonna have a funeral. Mm-hmm. So either someone's gonna have to take charge of him, then he's just gonna die. And if he returns, Allah would be the judge. But you know, these issues of male and female has been decided for us in our religion. You know, we have the Quran as to what is a male, what is a female, and how issues of corruption is to be looked at. It has its requirements. So we are never to go against Allah and His Messenger. And have, you know, what Allah has said about these issues, we have the example of Sodom, Gomorrah, all of these things in our religion, the people of Lut. So I think this has been decided. And I think for us, the safe place to be is in our religious language about these issues. So that's all I would add.
I know we're running out of time, so we definitely going to have to continue this subject here, because it is important. But especially from other religious standpoint, they say, because they, you know, they always accusing Muslims of abusing or feeding their women as second class. I'm sure you have heard that before. So, and that's why I say it goes across even all religious line, that people will take what they want to do, and they'll mix it with religion and confuse people with religion. But I agree with you. The Quran has got the answer there, but people take that and they misuse it. So now over some places,
Brother Henry, let me just interject just one thing. I think you're missing what I'm saying. What I am saying is, if for us to be, you know, we have religious freedom in America, and we can express through our religious doctrine what our position is on certain subjects, you know, and that's the safe place for us to be. That's the safe place.
I want you to hold that thought, because that's important.
And I understand that people don't believe like we believe, but I'm just talking about for our security.
No. I got you. And that's an area, critical area that you're talking about now that we need to do, because that's what get a lot of this problem that we're talking about. It ain't so much physical as it is the rational and the spiritual part. So that's an important area you're addressing, but we are totally out of time. And we want to bring Brother Adam in here. We're going to see you next week, and we're going to continue to address this, because we need to bring out this. These are things we need to discuss and even debate over to see. But the answer to it is in the Quran. But we're going to see you next week. At the same time, same place, right here for another edition of Critical Issues. Assalamu alaikum.
Stay
tuned, Adam.
Mark your calendars for the 2023 Muslim Journals A Time to Be Grateful, coming to North New Jersey, December 7th through the 10th. A Time to Be Grateful is MJ's annual fundraiser to raise awareness about the publication and increase subscriptions, advertisements, and distributors. ATTBG features a weekend of events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development, including Culture Night, which showcases Muslim singers, musicians, and spoken word artists, a modest yet ultra-stylish family fashion show luncheon, an awards banquet, business breakfast, marketplace with Muslim vendors, and more. Don't wait. Get your tickets today. Visit www.masjidalhaq.com or call 862-250-5451. Hope to see you there.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Adam B. out here on Money Sense on this Thursday morning, November the 2nd. Alhamdulillah. I want to welcome everybody to our program today, and I see we got some hands up already. Please, if you can, you lower your hands, and then that way if you come back up, I know you want to say something, but if you don't lower your hands, I'm assuming you just forgot to lower your hands, and I will. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Let's begin the program today reading from the Quran. Surah Al-Anam, which is the seventh surah of the Quran, I believe. The sixth surah of the Quran and 141st ayah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa huwa alladhi ansha'a jannatin marufatin wa ghayra marufatin wa naqla wa zar'a mukhtalifan ukuluhu وزينون ورومانا متشابها وغير متشابه كلوا من ثمره إذا أثمر وآتوا حقه يوم حصاده ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين صدق الله العظيم. In a translation, with Allah's name, merciful, benefactor, the merciful, redeemer, it is he who produces gardens with trellises and without, and dates and tilth with produce of all, which produce all kinds of olives and pomegranates, similar in kind and different in variety. Eat of their fruit in the season, but render the dues that are proper on the day that the harvest is gathered. But waste not by excess, for Allah loveth not the wasters. Sadaqa Allahu al-Azim. Allah speaks the truth, and surely Allah's words are true. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I learned something I had didn't realize, I wasn't conscious of it, I'm sure most people aren't conscious of. And the bottom line is about food waste. Food waste. And on this article that I was reading, it said there are five ways that food waste is destroying our beautiful planet. Right? And this is just to give you, to create an awareness that I can remember growing up. My grandmother used to say, eat, boy. There are people in Africa that don't have any food. And I know many of you probably heard something like that or something similar to that. Maybe they didn't say Africa, they might have said China. They might have said other places. But there are people, just on the side, I feel curious that they never say there are people in America that don't have food, right? And we know now that that is not an accurate thought at all. So there are many people in America that don't have food, that need food, that are starving. But we don't even think about them either. But that was that idea that America was so great that nothing bad would happen, even in light of slavery and all those stuff. But anyway, I diverge. Excuse me. So, but let's get back to the point. How is wasting food destroying the planet? That's what got my attention. So the article says that, and this was done back in 2021, I do believe. But the article is saying that there's 60 million tons of food a year that is wasted. And for various reasons. Some say, well, the extremely high standards set by Americans in stores, you know. Like in stores, if the produce doesn't look good in terms of color or whatever, they throw it out. If it doesn't have that high standard. But 60 million tons is wasted every year. Right? Now, keep in mind that they say there's enough food on the shelves, or enough food that's thrown out that could probably solve the problems on a lot of countries. That there are trillions of gallons of water that's wasted, right? Well, how's that come about? Well, you know, if you take the amount of water needed to grow the wasted food, or the amount of water needed to grow the wasted food, then if you waste the food, you waste the water. Then there's a high level of oil that's wasted. Again, we look at the diesel and the fossil fuels that's used to grow the wasted food. That becomes wasted. You have water, you have fuel. That's wasted. Manpower is wasted, right? Land becomes wasted because you look at the land that's used to grow the food that's wasted. And that land is taken out of use for other purposes. Then that land is wasted. And then we look at then they have on here biodiversity. That the wasted food upsets the ecosystems and the other organisms and animals that are species that are disrupted because of that. I said, who would do that kind of study that they would look at that? Well, that's another thing I missed. You know, wasted food that are put in landfills produces methane gas. And methane gas is bad for the environment. So methane accounts for about 25% or 20% of the greenhouse gas emissions. And that, you know, that is a scientific explanation. I saw in that video that I looked at, how they drew it out and showed how, you know, methane blocks the environment of the earth to release certain things, and it keeps it in, which creates more heat, which creates the climate change. It's really bad. I'm not a scientist, you know, so maybe that'll encourage you to do some research and you can see how that effect is. But all these things happen because of wasting food. All right? So it's destroying our beautiful planet. And don't even get on the fact of how it could be used to solve world hunger. It could solve world hunger. Now, I saw a list of countries that they said were the biggest in wasting. And believe it or not, the United States is not number one. But we're in the top five. And ours comes from just wasting. You know, people buy stuff and they don't want it. They throw out stuff. A lot of people eat out and not in, so they go to restaurants, whatever, don't eat all the food. Restaurants throw out things of that nature, right? So it just becomes a habit. And it becomes difficult to control. But on that list, there was a country that we all know of called France. And that country did not make the top 25 because they have a government program in order to not waste as much food. Now, you know, over here in America, if you're talking about the government trying to regulate the wasting of food, we already know that there are going to be charges of socialism, you know, and the government doesn't need to be in trying to regulate how people live. They need to be free to do what they're going to do. So when the government tries to step in, there's a call of socialism. But all France does, it has a program to bring into the consciousness of the French about wasting food, and it's working. For the most part, it's working some. It's working better than, let's put it this way, it's working better than it is over here in America. Because we waste not just food, we waste a lot of stuff. And it's not just on the rich. A lot of people think it's the rich that waste the most. But on the contrary, I remember Imam Muhammad did it when his lectures, he had made a point, and I hadn't thought about that. And he said that the poor neighborhoods have more trash than the wealthy neighborhoods have. And I thought about that. Because I lived in the poor neighborhood growing up. And I bear witness, there was always a lot of trash. A lot of things been thrown out. I don't know how it was over in the wealthy neighborhood, because I didn't live in it, and I didn't get a chance to visit them that much when I was growing up. But now that I'm of age now, and I drive through different areas of where I live, I can bear witness that the wealthy neighborhoods don't have as much in terms of trash on trash day in the front of the house than it does in the poor neighborhoods. So the poor neighborhoods waste a lot of stuff. They're wasting a lot of stuff. So we have to have a consciousness of doing things that would cause a lot of waste. Let's bring it home to African Americans. We have a lot of waste. And along with that, we buy things we really don't need to buy. buy things that we can't afford to buy. And the commercial establishment targets us. They target our community. I heard on the previous show where the sister was talking about her son and how he just overly indulges in the popular rap environment, the music, and the videos. And when you look at the videos, you see all the time they're advertising alcohol. You know, every rap artist got their own brand. That's when you know they've made it, when they can come up with their own brand of vodka. All you Jay-Z fans out there, they have their own brand of vodka. They've made it. Inviting people to get drunk. Then you have the fellas that buy their own bad handbags. They got the right handbags. $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 handbag. And then they have in the videos you see our young people buying those handbags as a status symbol, as though they can afford it. And then the cars. And that's nothing new. I mean, that's been that way, but it has become really bad now, because they have the videos, they have the social media, they have areas that they can advertise things without a big uproar because they're on social media. They don't get the same scrutiny they would if they were on television. So they make videos about it. When you buy something that you can't afford, that is a form of waste. Also, let me say, well, what about our children? Well, I would hope that our children would know better. But I don't know. You know, maybe they're not getting the same instructions that we got. Maybe they're not understanding. Maybe they're not. I'm not sure. You know, along that idea of wasted, that we cannot exceed, you know, extravagant. And you've heard that word, that's extravagant. What does extravagant mean? It means exceed the limits, and I like this definition. Dictionary, I like this one. Exceeding the limits of reason or necessity. There are two things operating. You know, it's not reasonable. Exceeding the limits of reason. It's gone beyond the level of reasoning that individual can use. How do you convince, have the reasoning capabilities to do something, and you can't? Because that exceeds their reasoning limits. So we need to work on the reasoning, our reasoning first. And with that reasoning, we'll tell you whether something is necessary for you or not. That reasoning will judge that. But it seems that our people don't have the reasoning capacity to go through those checks and balances. Real simple. Do you need that you're getting ready to buy? Is that a necessity or a want? See, we can't even judge what's a necessity and what's a want. Allah says in the Quran, and they ask you how much you should spend. And the reply is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that which is above your needs. That which is above your needs. In other words, if you don't need it, then that's money that you can donate, peace be Allah, that you can give, that you can spend in the way of Allah, if you don't need it. All right? So you can give that feasibility in the way of Allah if you don't need it. But you have to have that reasoning ability to know, do I need this or do I not need this? And if it's above your limits of reasoning, you're not going to come up with the right answer. If it's above your limits of reasoning, you won't come up with the right answer. Okay, we're going to take this quick PSA, and if anybody has any comments or questions, just press 1 to come in the Q. If I'm giving you something that you want to add or think about that you've thought about that makes this important, just press 1 to come in the queue, and we'll be right back after this message. Inshallah.
Mark your calendars for the 2023 Muslim Journals of Time to Be Grateful coming to North New Jersey, December 7th through the 10th. A Time to Be Grateful is MJ's annual fundraiser to raise awareness about the publication and increase subscriptions, advertisements, and distributors. ATTBG features a weekend of events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development, including Culture Night, which showcases Muslim singers, musicians, and spoken word artists, a modest yet ultra-stylish family fashion show luncheon, an awards banquet, business breakfast, marketplace with Muslim vendors, and more. Don't wait. Get your tickets today. Visit www.masjidalhaq.com or call 862-250-5451. Hope to see you there.
All right, we're back. This is Adam B. out here on Money Sense. And we're just talking about wasting and giving the concept. So Allah says in the Quran that he hates the waster. All right. But as we see in this article, there's a nature-based effect of wasting that most of them consider. The environment that we live in is affected by waste. The environment that we live in is affected by waste. And most people, I know I did. Now, you might have, but I didn't consider those residual effects on having waste. You see, we read in many places in history where there have been civilizations that failed. And the idea is that they failed because of the enemy without. That some other country or society invaded them and attacked them and beat them, and they failed. We consider that. But we've given little thought, I know in this society, have given little thought of the attack by the enemy within. Right. They have given little thought with that. And we can see now that more knowledge is available to us, how the things that we do as a society has an adverse effect that is built in to the natural occurrences of the world that Allah has created for us. and how it is important for us as human beings. It's important for us to take the responsibility that lies put in our hands of preserving not just ourselves, but not just our families, but preserving to the world that Allah has given us. So these are just little things that the social scientists are not tracking. There's some that are, but most of them are ignoring it. They're not tracking. Right. I mean, they don't even track the basic things. Hey, if you don't work to solve the problems of the less informed or the poor in this society, that it's going to end up affecting all of us if you don't do that. You can't get rid of them. Somebody needs to tell that to the Zionist government over in occupied Palestine. You can't just get rid of the people. That's going to have a residual effect that you won't even see. That you won't even see. It's already affecting them, and they're young. And other people right there where they live who are trying to say, hey, don't become a people that are trying to eradicate your people because it's going to come back on you. But they're so haughty and so that they don't think there's any recourse, that they can just do that without any recourse. And it's the same here in this country from the point of view that they don't want to help the less well off. They don't want the government to give any assistance. People got to go on their own, stand on their own. Don't try to help them. But they're on the same boat that you're on. And though they might be in the bottom of the boat, and you're up on the top in the penthouses, and you're in the top with all the activity and food and everything else, and you ignore the people on the bottom, but keep in mind, it's the bottom that's closer to the water. And if they put a hole in the bottom of the boat, it's all going to sink. But they don't think like that. Their mind is not aware of that, or their spirit is not tracking it because of their haughtiness. And they think they can treat them in any kind of way. Okay, they did that for 400 years. But today they're not just treating the so-called Negro that way. They're treating everybody that way. They're treating everybody that way, and they don't realize. I might have said this last week. I've told it before, but I have a client that's from Yemen, or I have a few Yemeni clients, as a matter of fact. And he was trying to buy the strip mall. And the people he was buying the strip mall from, they kept making it more difficult, and making it more difficult, and coming up with things so that he couldn't buy it. So he came to me upset. I said, man, we've been going through that for 400 years. You just realizing that today they treat you like a Negro. You thought you were better than the Negro, but now, hey, to them, you're just another Negro. And they're treating you that way. So they're spreading that to everybody. And I'm hearing more and more of that from some immigrant Muslims. Hear more of that. Why? Because they're getting more power. Had another sister in Pakistan that's running for political office around here. And we were having a discussion, another one of my clients, and we were having a discussion about how she was being snubbed. I said, yep. They've been doing African Americans like that for years. So now you can see some of the treatment that we've been given that you thought you wouldn't have to endure. But guess what? That's not true. So if you don't correct the treatment when it's on someone else, it's going to end up coming on you. It's going to end up coming to you. So we as Muslims, first of all, as Muslim African Americans, right, even though they might have treated us bad, I'm talking about some of the immigrant Muslims might have discounted us and treated us the way the Caucasian treated us and had a thought for that. We know that's not going to last for so long. And as they become more and want to get more and more power, they're going to receive the same treatment. So when they come to you, you can either say, good for you. You know how you used to do with young people. Yeah, good for you. No. Or we can help. Because I've seen that same response for the Palestinians. And I'm changing a little bit, but I'm just wanting to get this as we get close to the end of the hour. Same response to the Palestinians. When a Muslim brother put on there that we don't have time to worry about them, talking about the Palestinians. And someone was saying how Palestinians treated African Americans. And my response to him was, as a Muslim, we don't do that. As a Muslim. As a follower of the Quran, we don't ignore the aid that we can give people simply because of how they treated you. To treat them in kind makes you no better than you think they are. Makes you no better than you think or that they think they are, that they're better than us. But you understand what I'm saying, hopefully. I didn't lose you. But makes us no better. We come to the aid of the oppressed. Allah says, including the Quran, and I'm thinking, right? Don't think that you can treat people the way they treated you. Don't think that the wrong that people do to you leads you to wrong. Now, that's the way of our Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's his way. And that's the way that Allah gives us in the Quran. That's what the Muslim should be doing. We know the story of our Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the lady that every day when he would walk by our house, she would throw trash on him, she would dog him out, treat him bad, say bad things about him, whatever. All right? So one day he walked by her house, nothing happened. He walked by another day, nothing happened. So he inquired, hey, where is this lady that lives here, where is she at? I haven't seen her. Where is she? And someone told her that she was ill, if I believe. And someone could correct me if I'm not accurate. That she was ill. And he prayed for her. That's what Prophet Muhammad does. That's the example he gave to us. The Prophet didn't walk by and say, good. I hope she die. Or I hope it gets worse for her. He didn't say that. He prayed for her. For you to come up and suggest to people on Facebook or whatever that you can't say anything in defense of the Palestinians because Palestinians, some Palestinians you knew treated you bad or had something to say bad about African Americans. How do you know what those Palestinians that died in the bombing yesterday felt about you? How do you know those children that died, or dying every day, felt about you? How do you know that? Where's the example of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Where's that example? And I know the person I put a comment on his page on after that. I know he's probably not listening in today, but just you probably, if you stay on social media, you'll run across him, or you'll run across those like him, and tell them what's best. Don't let it be said and nothing's being done. Why? Because you'll have people thinking that's the way Muslims think. Oh, that's the way Muslims should think. And it's not how Muslims should think. We had to stand for justice, even if it's against our own selves. We had to stand for justice. Well, how did you get over here? Well, I thought we were talking about wasters. When you allow actions like that, you're wasting the blessing that Allah gave us in the Quran in the life of Prophet Muhammad. You're wasting that. So I hope you allow me to make that point in this. Right? That we cannot waste. I was reading something the man Muhammad said. One thing he said about wasting, and he used the Arabic term munkar. And as Muslims, we're supposed to enjoy what's good and forbid what's evil. And I think the Arabic term in that was munkar, if I'm not mistaken on that. So that's our job, to make sure that we're representing the best. The best in this faith. And when we don't represent the best, again, that's munkar. So anyway, if anybody wants to make a comment, just press 1 to come in the queue. And you can take the conversation whatever way you want, if you like. Let me, this is lecture by Imam Muhammad, he says that here is a quote on something the Prophet said, whoever sees a witness as a munkar being done should change it. That's our first response to change it. All right. It is an expectation of what is right and what is wrong. The munkar is what is wrong. Right. But should change it. And that's an end of situation. Right. Should move to change what's right. I mean, change what's wrong into what is right. That is munkar. All right, so anyway, so as we end up here, we got about 12 minutes remaining in the hour, and we'll hopefully, if anybody wants to express one, help me, even if you say, As-salamu alaykum, madam, that'll be great. Let's press one. Now see, okay. So anyway, I'm hoping that I thought it was a good conversation on dealing with wasting and making a good analogy, but evidently it's not. So, you know, don't want to talk about the obvious. I mean, we can, but I don't want to talk about what's going over in Palestine. The way it seems, it's going to be going on. It's going to be going on for a little while. Right? It's going to be going on for a little while. And some people are calling it genocide. And this will probably be the first genocide on world TV screen, live and up front. And for the life of me, I don't know how to correct it. I don't know what's going to come of it, right? But the reality is that we have work to do as a people. We have work to do as a community. And we need to get to our business at hand. We need to get to work to make sure we, because nothing stops. I got a caller right here. Let me go to the phone line. Area code 949-689. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Adam B., I just wanted to say to you that it's always a good topic to bring up anything that people never heard before. Not that I haven't heard this particular thing about the trash, because I have, but I'm glad you brought it up because it reminded me to speak when I go. But I volunteer at the jail to bring that up as a topic because everybody hasn't heard it. So don't think that it's going on deaf ears. I appreciate you. I'm listening online, so that's why you don't see me on the phone. I just wanted to call and let you know I appreciate you, brother.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate it. Where are you from, brother?
I'm originally from New Jersey, Englewood, New Jersey, but I live in Georgia now, about an hour northeast of Atlanta. In a city called Monroe.
What's the city called?
Monroe.
Oh, Monroe. Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah. I went to high school in Atlanta, so yeah, I'm very familiar with that area. Thank you very much, brother.
And I'm sure the topic you're about to talk about now, with all of the madness that's going on, I'm sure will be a little more, may get more, response in show.
Inshallah. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, my brother.
You're welcome.
All right. All right, got another caller. Raise your hand. Error code 321-917. 321-917. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam, ma'am. Shukran for the program and reminding us, the Lisa Umar, Melbourne, Florida, and reminding us of the need to be more pure in our thinking at, you know, we is that revengeful thing. We see that going on now in the Middle East, the results of what revenge can do, not thinking rationally about treating others fairly. So thanks for reminding us of the obligation God puts on us by that not your hate for people make you swerve from doing justice. Justice. So we appreciate that reminder from you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, brother man. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. All right. So, and y'all bear with me. This has been a long week for us. My brother had a stroke. Just got released from the hospital, so I appreciate everybody that can be a dua for my brother. You know, been my brother a long time. He's the reason I became a Muslim. I say that because I remember back when I was in Atlanta, I was in high school with knucklehead, and he thought I was gonna be lost. He said, and he told me, he said, "Why don't you go join the Muslims or something?" he said, "Why don't you go join the Muslims?" And and about a year later, he was a Muslim. But that was him looking out for me. So I don't know what direct impact that had on me, but I guess, you know, in the words of the late Dr. Jamal Rashid, words make, you know, he said, it's in the word make people. And other, Imam Michael said, yeah, in the show, words make people. And so maybe that was the word I needed that started my conscious ascension to Islam, you know, had me thinking about the possibility, because I would see the Muslim brothers on the street selling the Muhammad speech right on Auburn Avenue in Atlanta, Georgia. I remember that as I was going to school in the daytime, whatever. I worked at the A&P food store at the school on Edgewood Avenue. And there was this brother that came in once a week he would come in. And he would buy his food. And the food was, I looked at the food he was buying and I said, dang, what kind of, this is unusual. And the brother gave me a Muhammad speech. So it was all working for the cause. Let's go to the phone line. Let's go 504-488-504-488. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, brother Adam. Praise be to Allah. As-salamu alaykum.
Wow,
Alhamdulillah, same thing yesterday, trying to save Allah the best way I can. And alhamdulillah. You know, when you talk about the mercy of Rasul, of the Prophet, you're really talking about something that's very, very deep. It's a human life. And Prophet Muhammad, he cried out to Allah because he needed help. He needed help for the people. And so we should kind of like look at ourselves and say, well, how can I be a mercy to humanity? You can look at the attributes of Allah and you say, well, okay, I'll do that on my level as a human being. And then when you study the life of Prophet Muhammad was a peaceful person. He did what he had to do, the necessary to do. But if he could have done something in a very most peaceful manner, alhamdulillah, it made common sense, and he did that. But something real deep inside of the core of you that have to want to do something like that. I look at the volunteers and the hosts and hoses on the program to be some very, very special people to take their time out and do what they do. And I pray Allah for them that he will bless them, those who don't have it, have unshakable faith in him. So So no matter what's going on in the world, you should keep out of duty, fulfill out of obligation to everybody. Hostility brings about pain, serious pain, loss of life, and we see the results of that. It took me maybe about 2 days to stop acting a lie to put something on the Israelis. The lie suggests God, he's going to do what has to be done, but I have to clear myself of all that. That's why we're about to kill somebody, say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, because we don't want that on our soul. But I didn't design our soul to really be like that. So alhamdulillah, and thankful to Allah for this program and the light that you shine with, you know, with Brother Adam, because that's very essential for us to be that awake. Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah. Alaykum as-salam. Thank you very much, man. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
All right. We're about at the end of our program. We got a couple of minutes left, so if anybody has something they want to say, just press 1 to come in to the queue, and alhamdulillah, we'll get you a response in. And in terms of how can we be a mercy? And sometimes you need to have the right thing said in the environment that would cause people to reflect. And this is based on people reflecting, all right? People reflecting. And we know, we pray a lot that we never get into a situation where we don't think, we don't reflect, we don't try to give the good word or benefit from the good word. So that might be our sole purpose, to say something that would hit somebody's ears to cause them to think and reflect. Because in these times it's needed. There's so much craziness being talked about, so many evil things being talked about, so many mean things being talked about that's driving human beings against each other. Right? And sometimes you need that. And you never know when, but you should never be in a situation where you fail to call people to what's good. Enjoying the good and forbid the wrong. That's what I said. We enjoying what is good, what is wholesome, which is proper, and we forbid the evil. We forbid the bad things. And that's our role. That's what we should be doing. And that's what Allah is asking in Surah third Surah of the Quran, Ali Imran. You know, the best of people involved for mankind and joining what is right, forbidding what is wrong, and believing in Allah. Kuntum khayrum ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas taqmuruna bil-ma'rufi wa tanhauna 'anil munkar. Enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong. Right? And believing in Allah. So that's what Allah says defines the actions of the best people. If we're saying we have what is best, that's what we should be doing. Right? If we're saying we have what's best. Allah asked them and saying, all right, if only the people of the book had faith that it was best for them, if only they did. Some of them have faith, but most of them are perverted transgressors. That's the time we live in. So our action is to make sure that we're not falling into that, because we're the people of the book too, right? Ali al-Khattab, we are the people of the book too. So our job is to make sure that we're not part of the ones that are part of that Sazikun, that we are the ones that are perverted transgressors. So that's what, these are the times we're living in. And we have our work cut out for us. If we say we're the best, if we have the best, if we have the best, the deen that Allah wants for us, and that's what we should be doing all over. All right. So with that being said, I'm going to be out of here. It's time to go and get ready for Imam Yusuf Ramadan. His topic today is cause and effect. Cause and effect. So alhamdulillah for everyone. We'll be right back next week right here on Money Sense. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mark your calendars for the 2023 Muslim Journals, A Time to Be Grateful, coming to North New Jersey, December 7th through the 10th. A Time to Be Grateful is MJ's annual fundraiser to raise awareness about the publication and increase subscriptions, advertisements, and distributors. ATTBG features a weekend of events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development, including Culture Night, which showcases Muslim singers, musicians, and spoken word artists, a modest yet ultra-stylish family fashion show luncheon, an awards banquet, business breakfast, marketplace with Muslim vendors, and more. Don't wait. Get your tickets today. Visit www.masjidalhaq.com or call 862-250-5451. Hope to see you there.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
As-salamu alaykum. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And his peace be unto you. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we'd like to welcome everyone to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan, and this is the program that deals with current events, trending topics, and issues of concern from the Muslim perspective. And as we always say, the Muslim perspective is, and always should be, the human perspective. So today, brothers and sisters, we are grappling with cause and effect, cause and effect. And we know Imam W.D. Muhammad did a great speech, great talk on just that subject, cause and effect, that and he spoke about how people always, you know, in this society, they address the effects, but they never delve into the causes. And I was listening to our mayor here in New York, Eric Adams, and he was talking about the immigrant. In fact, he's on his way to Washington with a group, with about three or four other mayors, Democratic mayors, that are joining him, going to lobby the president as well as the Congress, the lawmakers, you know, on trying to get some more money and some more help for immigrant populations that we have in New York and those other cities. Okay. So he's going to try to get more money, and he spoke about how some of the immigrant women that had come here from other cities. I don't know if he was talking about the ones that were bused in from other states. I believe he was. And he said that they had turned to prostitution. They had turned to prostitution. And he said, well, because he'd been lobbying to get them jobs, to get them work and get them jobs. And he said, well, if people don't have a means to take care of themselves, people don't have a means to so that they can make money and take care of themselves, they turn to crime. And I thought, that's very interesting that he would say that for them, particularly with him being a law and order mayor, ex-police officer, ex-police captain, in fact. I found that very interesting. Not that I disagree with that, but I found that interesting in that you almost never hear people anymore speak that same way about crime in the African-American community. We hear people saying, well, get a job or get a better education, get yourself, prepared to do other things. And that's correct. But I just found that, very interesting in keeping along the lines of my program today, Cause and Effect. Okay? So he seemed to have no problem offering that as an explanation, as a cause for the effect. Where most conservative people, and in that area of crime prevention and addressing crime, and I hesitate to use that terminology, conservative, those political labels, because they really don't mean that much. But those who consider themselves to be quote unquote conservatives, they don't want to be seen as soft on crime. And by soft on crime, I mean making excuses, which I don't see it as an excuse, but more of an explanation. To me, it's an explanation, a partial explanation. Because people don't have to commit crimes. We hear from many of our rappers, and when they talk about the degradation, the thing going on in the African community, urban centers, projects, things in places like that, and they say, hey, we're just the CNN. In other words, the news. We just reporting the news. And my answer to that has always been, but you're not reporting all of the news. You're only giving one perspective of it. You're not saying that Mrs. Johnson and other people in the projects, they didn't use drugs. They didn't sell drugs. They didn't commit crimes, even though they were in your same environment. So you choosing to, and this is just like the news. This is really getting to the crux of what I'm talking about. This is just like the news that we watch, mainstream media, mainly what they call mainstream media, mainstream or corporate media. This is what you call mainstream or corporate media that we watch, which are now in the 24-hour coverage, okay? And so the narrative, and I'm looking at it right now, just turned on the TV while I'm talking, and it came right up. Israel-Hamas war. So this is framing, right? This is framing, how they frame an argument or how they frame an issue. Israel, so they want you to think, the Israelis, as well as the American media, that this is a war between Israel, it's not, and Hamas. You say, "Brother Man, what do you mean it's not a war between Israel?" Well, there's some people in Tel Aviv right now, men, women, never had on a uniform, never picked up a gun. So it's not between them, is it? They're not fighting the war, are they? Some of them are victims, right? Or they're just citizens there. So it's not a war between Israel. And another headline they put up, Israel at war. Why is it Israel at war? Huh? At war with who? They tell you that it's Hamas, and they have designated Hamas as a terrorist organization. So whose side would you be on? The state of Israel or this terrorist organization? This is a war, if you're going to use a country, the whole country, it's a war between Israel and Palestine. Or it's a war between the Israeli people and the Palestinian people, not Hamas. Because if you change the name, don't the Palestinian people have a right to have an organization that represents them in every front? They will frame it as Israel has a right to protect itself. And all of you scared Negroes out there, let me quote the Imam for you. The Imam said they should keep going when they say that and say that everyone has a right to defend themselves, to self-defense. Everyone. Don't say it like they have a right to self-defense and then put a pin in it. What about the rest of the world? That right to self-defense comes from Allah, not from the people speaking, not from the president, the Congress, or anybody, the UN. No, that comes from Allah. Everybody has a right to self-defense, but they don't say that. And it's the same thing, the same attitude that they have between all colonized people, that they do not have a right to self-defense. The only thing they have a right to is to follow Martin Luther King. Nonviolence. That's the only thing you have a right to. But again, for the scared people listening, Imam W.D. Muhammad said, "I am not a follower of Gandhi. I'm a follower of Muhammad the Prophet. Prayers and the peace be upon him." Did y'all didn't hear that? You didn't hear that one? And they were talking to him. This leads right into what I'm saying. Imam came out and said that he gave $85,000 to, he donated $85,000 of mosque cares. Well, I don't think he was calling it mosque cares at that time, but from his ministry, to Nelson Mandela. To Nelson Mandela, who came out of prison and became the president of South Africa. Why was he in prison? He was in prison because they called him a terrorist. And they continued the designation of him being a terrorist, the United States did, of a terrorist, even after he was the president of South Africa. They had not removed that designation from him. So don't let other people set parameters for you. I know they got very angry when people would say one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. That's not right. He's a terrorist. Terrorist is a terrorist. No, a terrorist is whoever you say is a terrorist. Because the same thing that they showed us, y'all got very short memories. They showed us grandmothers. I remember specifically. Others too, but I remember specifically they showed us a grandmother on the same mainstream media with a Molotov cocktail in Ukraine. And they were lauding her as being a very courageous person, a person of courage that would not allow the invading Russians to come into her country without fighting back. She was a person of courage. Huh? Yes. She was a person of courage to be admired. She didn't have on a uniform, so therefore she was what?
A civilian.
She was a civilian. And they didn't say, oh, you can't use that against the Russians. That would be horrible. What if one of the Russians shot her as she was throwing that Molotov cocktail? They would have been to the funeral. They would have showed us the people crying. She was a grandmother, loving grandmother. So you see the way they frame things is very, very important. Framing, so important. Huh? And they showed Kirby, who had been representing the president, crying over the losses in Ukraine, and they did a split screen, showed side by side when they talked about the civilian casualties of non-combatants in Palestine. He said, war is messy. In other words, hey, that's what you get when you get war. He's a military man, so he was jiving when he started crying about Ukraine. He wasn't even crying about them either. Huh? He was jiving when he was pretending to cry over Ukraine. That's his business, is war. He don't cry over nobody. Okay? So he was jiving then. He was playing for the camera then. Holy man, you're so cynical. No, I study these things. And not a tear fell from his eye, but he said to the reporters, excuse me for a minute. If he's that type of person, he wouldn't be eligible to be an admiral in the Navy like he was. He wouldn't be a war fighter, a hardened war fighter. They call them battle hardens. He wouldn't be eligible for that. I'm telling you what I know. Oh, yes, he's human. Yeah, he's human. Everybody's human. They're subject to human emotions. But he didn't break down when he was talking about the thousands of children that's being killed in Palestine. He did it. No, he did not. So you listen to New Day, Saudi Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We have some important announcements for you. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waridduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waridduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. So I see 401-323. We're going to bring you in early and state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Angela Marie from North Providence, Rhode Island. You know, what we fail to realize is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Shaitan respite for a certain amount of time. We don't know what the time limit is. We don't know why Allah allows these things, just like we don't know why Allah allows any oppression or slavery or any brutality upon people. We don't know why Allah opened up the earth of Syria and Morocco and Turkey and killed all those people, okay? We don't know why Allah, we talk about what this one does to that. Where were we 75 years ago? No Muslims took their $8,000 that they went around the Kaaba and put it all together with the millions of Muslims and went over there and helped the Palestinians fight or to get out of there. But now they want to be upset about it? Where were we? We were too busy going around the Kaaba with our $8,000. Some people make hard every year. Some people make umrah every year. We got to ask ourselves, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow it? And why do we take our money and spend it for other things and don't give it to help the Palestinians? We're too busy doing time to be grateful. We're too busy doing all kinds of conventions and stuff. We don't really care. Over 75 years? All these Muslim big countries that got oil, thousands of dollars, Saudi Arabia. Oh, we're full of it. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. All right, that's one opinion. Press one on your phone if you want to come in and ask a question and make a comment. All right. Yeah, so what we're looking at is we're looking at the a textbook definition of genocide and ethnic cleansing that's going on in Palestine. You know, we're looking at that. And we can't become so, focused on one thing in life, even though it's a horrible experience. We have to be able to do other things. You know, we have to eat, we have to sleep. Some people can't sleep under these conditions or find it hard to sleep, you know, worrying about the, and we have to have the same concern for other people. One thing that's very bothersome to me is that I'm hearing a lot of our so-called black thought leaders saying that we shouldn't care about the Palestinian people. That's not our fight. That's not our problem. We have our own problems. We absolutely do. But we can't get to the point, and I hear people saying, you know, we have to be able to recognize, which we absolutely do, we have to recognize the humanity in each other. We have to recognize the humanity in each other. And we also have to be able to recognize Shaitan when we see it too. We have to recognize Shaitan. So we are at this point where everything is being questioned again. See, the Shaitan had things hooked up in such a way that we would only look at the effects, never the causes. Never the causes, okay? They arranged affairs in such a way that you would discuss history, which they're doing now. They wanted to circumscribe the discussion in such a way that you begin in the middle of the movie instead of the beginning. Now they have to defend the whole origin story of Israel and debate matters they thought were beyond discussion. 504-488. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, my man, Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. And also listening audience. Alhamdulillah. Juma Mubarak. The next day, alhamdulillah. You know, I see clearly what is going on in Israel. I see very clearly about the media, the hosts and hosts on the media when they begin to talk concerning what is going on in Israel at this point right now. And I see clearly that Israel just want to wipe Gaza off the map because they want Gaza. They want that control, period. So here in America, you have the elder, maybe 50, 40, something years old, some 60, that be informed. But they actually buying guns and they showing them how to shoot it and everything else. So be mindful of the fact that something is going on here in America as far as violence is concerned concerning that situation. So do what you have to do to protect yourself from those different people with that kind of mindset that they have. And then once again, I say also the Republicans, I'm very clear about who they are and their agenda, about who they backing. So praise be to Allah, we use our common sense, and we go ahead on and build the community that he now wants to do, Muhammad wants to build, and be very cautious as we go about the land, you know, doing what we have to do to save Allah. You know, being on this Satan, the tribe of private mind, and I've sold so much that we can't handle our business. Praise be to Allah, we keep handling our business. We pray Allah for those suffering throughout America and throughout the world. So that keep that universal concept in business and government and education and all the four birds. Keep that concept and know that Allah is with us. And we go ahead and continue to take care of our business. So praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Ameen. 718-806. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
My name is Master Massey, greatest Muhammad speak salesman in the world, greatest Whitey H and Me salesman in the world, greatest Shea Butter salesman in the world.
Okay.
Now I got some great news for you that you don't even know about.
Okay.
The Honorable Master Imam W.D. Muhammad rules the world. Digest that. Let that simmer. Yusuf Ramadan. Email Yusuf Ramadan.
Yes, sir.
Did you get that?
I think so.
The Honorable Master Imam W.D. Muhammad rules the world. Allah's throne extends over the heavens and the earth.
Okay.
You be good, all right?
All right, thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
All right, anyone else? I don't see any other hands up at this time. We're getting all of the lively calls that we're getting. press 1 on your phone, and we'll bring you into the queue. So these questions are coming up now that they were hoping they had put to bed. They don't want people to discuss it because it'll get to the truth. They don't want the truth. They only want to present their version of the truth and what's going on. They want to stifle discussion. They want to stifle discussion. They only want free speech if it agrees with their position. Zionism versus Judaism. They would say they're the same. So that they're not. The Torah Jews are saying the same thing, that they're the same. And we know that 10,000 people came to Grand Central Station in New York, Jews, mostly Jews, and said, not in our name. Not in our name. We're Jews, too. So they want to call all of them self-hating Jews. They even want to call them anti-Semites. But that's the other question. What is a Semite? All Jews are not Semites. And all Semites are clearly not Jews. In fact, all of the Palestinian people are Semitic people. They really don't want this discussion. Oh, no. They don't want this discussion because it's going to upend the propaganda that they're using to push their agenda. They can't afford this discussion, you see? And I told them that. Now they have two modes. They have two gears. One gear is arrogance. We're going to bomb you into the Stone Age. We're going to wipe you out. Never again. We're the mighty, mighty army. And nobody can stop us. They even embarrassed the president. He's on his way back over there. He didn't get enough the first time. They embarrassed him the first time. The Israelis embarrassed him. The Jordanians embarrassed him. The Saudis embarrassed him. The Palestinian Authority embarrassed him. Everybody embarrassed him by it. He first sent Lloyd Austin, the head of the military, over there. They didn't pay him no mind. He came over there talking tough like he was coming to support them, but he was really coming over there to talk to them, to try to get them to calm down. They didn't pay him no mind. Then they sent Blinken over there, the Secretary of State. He came over and said, I'm here as a Jew. That's my main reason for being here. They dissed him. Didn't pay him no mind. That didn't work. Biden had to come himself. That's unheard of for an American president to go into a war zone. I'm not talking about our war zone. We're not at war. We know that Bush would sneak over to Iraq every once in a while or sneak over to Afghanistan. But this is not our war, although they want you to think that. This is our war. No, they're at war. An American president going to a war zone? They didn't pay him no mind. The president, the king of Jordan, has been a puppet for the West for the last 30, 40 years. He refused to meet with Bush, with Biden. The head of the Palestinian Authority, he refused to meet with Biden. Saudi Arabia told him, no good, no good. What are we going to meet for? And you're already saying whose side you on. You already picked a side. You're not trying to referee this or trying to bring this to a halt. Now I hear he's going back again. I don't understand it unless he's going over there and finally read them the Riot Act and tell them that this is unacceptable. But have the courage to say it in public. Have the courage to say it in public. Don't just limit it behind the scenes. They're not paying you any mind. When you see the things that their leader Netanyahu said, he quoted Bible. that basically said, that not basically, he actually was saying that he approves of the genocide that's going on. Maybe y'all didn't catch that. He quoted the Bible. He quoted the Torah. He quoted the Torah. I'm trying to find it for you now. Yeah. This is horrible. This is horrible. That a leader would say such a thing in public. A leader would say such a thing in public. A so-called human being, a so-called civilized person. He said, this is a time for war. Let's see if we can catch, if we can pick up what he said. I just want to get the quote. All I want to do is get the quote from the Torah. Horrible. This was horrible.
War. Warning Israel's fight with Hamas is a battle of civilizations as Israel recovers a captured soldier and prepares for the next phase of its attack on Hamas. We're going to look at Israel's next targets in this historic war.
But it's not an attack on Hamas.
Hezbollah will attack Israel.
It's an attack on innocent
people. President Biden says Hamas does not represent Palestinian people. But in the
yes, they do. They absolutely represent the Palestinian people. Not in the atrocities that they accuse of committing, but if you remember, the American military committed atrocities in Iraq in a town called Fallujah. You remember the Abu Ghraib prison where they humiliated and tortured prisoners? Do you remember the My Lai massacre in Vietnam with the famous picture of the little naked Vietnamese girl running down the street on fire? So would it be correct to call the American military a terrorist organization? They won't allow you to do it. So because they did something, now you want to call all them terrorists. They are not. You remember when they called the Irish Republican Army terrorists? But they also had a political wing, Sinn Féin. They had them too. And they took power. They came and took power. Let's see what he's saying.
We're going to hear why they argue Hamas is actually popular with many Palestinians. Appeared on a website.
Let's see if we can find his words.
Well,
let's see if we can.
This is a Christian broadcasting.
Let's see if we can find his words.
He has or
horrible words that he said. I'm going to find it, even if I can't find the live time for it. Let's see what he says. He quoted the Bible. He doesn't want to have a ceasefire. The Bible says there's a time for peace and a time for war. This is a time for war. He vowed Israel would fight until this battle is won. We are going to resign them to the dustbin of history. His only problem is he's going to resign his own country into the dustbin of history because the whole world is looking. They're no longer hiding. They just bombed twice a refugee camp. So you tell the people to leave, and then when they leave, then you bomb them anyway. And they said that they were trying to get Hamas, quote-unquote terrorist leader, and they got him. So they killed 400 people to get that one person, which is what they're saying that was worth it. So we have to wake up. We have to wake up, brothers and sisters. All right? All right. We have some other important announcements for you. And we have to be balanced. We have to have balance. We can't say, so we're talking about the Palestinian situation in such a situation that we're not going to have any promos. Because we're not, that means you're not serious. No, you have to live life. You still have to eat. You have to take care of your children. You have to educate your children. You can't become so obsessed with a situation that we didn't even do that during slavery. We had to have some type of balance in life. That's humanity. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimallah alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimallah alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimallah alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
All right, and we are back. So yes, we have to understand cause and effect. Cause and effect. So brothers and sisters, if you would like to ask a question, make a comment, the time to do it until the end program, as we hope to do, because then we won't have enough to entertain your question or your comment, all right? So press one on your phone if you would like to join us in this discussion. All right, I don't see anyone in the queue. I don't see anyone else in the queue at this particular time. Press one on your phone. All right, maybe this topic is a little too heavy for a lot of people. They don't want to weigh in right now. I understand. Okay. But yes, we do have to support the Muslim Journal, Time to Be Grateful. That is our paper. And 914-434. State your name. Where you calling from, please?
It's Muhammad Sharif calling from Mount Vernon, New York. Assalamu alaikum.
Muhammad Sharif. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, I just want to say something. Allah says everything is judged by intent. All matters are judged by intent. And I've spoken on this, and other people have said concerning making homeland for the Jews. People were telling them what their other choices were before they got to make Palestine their home.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now,
you're
if,
right.
If, like, all matters judged by intent. What was their intent? If they didn't choose the first location, they chose to make a homeland for the Jews, they went to the second location. They didn't choose that location. Now, why did they choose a land that's already occupied by people? Why was that choice made? And if they had been sincere, then why they didn't choose somewhere in Arizona? Or Kansas, or California, so much vacant land. They could give a half of a state. Why they didn't do that? And we know how these, as these construction people that's in the military, even outside the military, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, they can build a bridge, a tunnel, make a base, a military base, do that in about 2 weeks. So they could have gave the Jews land in any other place, but they chose Palestine where people land were. Maybe that was the cause of revenge. Muhammad, in our situation, help came from, I think, that area where Muhammad, so maybe that's their retaliation. They said they gave some help, that nobody else helped the blacks, the enslaved people. Nobody helped them until God blessed Farad Muhammad to come with an idea of racial psychology. So maybe that was intent to take revenge on the Palestinian people because he came to that era to help us out. Like I said, they could build up a whole state or whatever for them in no time flat. But they told the same way they told President Obama. Obama was not the first choice to be American president. Imam Zabedin Muhammad, they studied him from the time he was born. You know, he would have been the first person to lead America. But he said he would follow the way of Prophet Muhammad. He would ban alcohol and drugs and all that. So you know they're not going to choose him to be the president. The second choice, General Colin Powell. The American people were ready to choose General Colin Powell, that second choice to lead America. But he thundered down with a reason. I know one thing he said, that he didn't want to put his wife through that campaign. Who they choose? They chose Obama. That was the third choice. Why? Because they know he would back down and he would be their bidding for homosexual. He tried to take homosexual. He supported homosexuality. He tried to take it to Africa and other places. They ran him out. That's why they chose him. And that's at one time, he said he would be satisfied to be a one-time president if his family would go along with that. What happened? Maybe the limelight or the promise that they made to him. If you don't go along and do what we tell you to do, our intent, you will not become the next president. But he went along with that. He was the third choice, the weakest choice. I think I'll end it right there. But Imam Yusuf, thank you for taking my comments.
Assalamu alaikum, Imam DeLacy Lamar here, Elbert, Florida. Wonderful program. We are all burdened by this genocide we are seeing practiced and being practiced openly. But all of the points you brought up are very significant in terms of the light is on. The light is on. And the history, as you so rightly put it, you don't start and have a movie in the middle of the movie and get the full picture. You have to go back to the beginning. And I think the light is on. The students and young people are looking at this impulsively. And they are reacting. And we are all trying to make a contribution as much as we can to make this a human, to bring a human spirit to this horrible situation, to be seen just in real time. It's just unbelievable. Keep doing what we do, and we trust Allah to bring about the results. Good program.
They're saying the Arab people don't care. It's the governments, it's the leadership of those governments that are ruling over the people that won't allow those people. You saw in Turkey, there was a million people or more in the streets. In Europe, you know, in people in Ireland, all over the world, people are, but they've shown us the elites, the governing elites have shown us before that they don't care. They've actually said it. They asked Dick Cheney one time. They said the American people, the majority of American people, they are not in support of this war in Iraq. He said, so what? Look it up for yourself. So what? They know that they can get away with things that people are not, you know, it takes a lot to get people. So when you see all these people out in the streets, like all these major cities, now they're coming down on the cotton students, trying to say that the college students that are having pro-Palestinian protests, that they're anti-Semitic. That's anti-Semitic. That's why we have to attack those words, those tactics. The Palestinian people are Semites. I get disgusted when I see the so-called Muslim scholars making anti-Semitism synonymous with being anti-Jewish. It's not the same thing. Huh? All Jews are not Semites, and all Semites are not Jews. Each and every one of the Palestinian people are Semites. So is killing them like, is that anti-Semitism? No, we can't allow them to frame this discussion for us, brothers and sisters. We have to push back on that. We have to fight back on that. We can't let, you don't let, that's why when they have two boxers, professional boxers, they have to talk about what the rule, how big the ring is, or how heavy the glove, are they going to be 8-ounce gloves or 10-ounce gloves? Huh? Is it going to be a standing 8-count? Can you be saved by the bell? No, you don't just come in. So they're saying that they won't even start a discussion until you say they have a right to exist. And they conflate the right to exist as people with them having that so-called homeland. Hmm? Of course they have a right to exist. But you don't have a right to exist in my land. But they say we're not even going to start this discussion until you say that I have a right to exist. Meaning that, in other words, you start off the discussion with losing already. I'm occupied your base, and you say, well, we can't even talk. We can't even talk. Say they have a right to be here. No, we know that. This is what Allah is bringing in to the forefront, forcing people to have these discussions. 718-806. I think you're back on again. 718-806.
Yeah, guess what, Imam Yusuf Ramadan? I'm going to put you back on the Mosque Cares Ramadan set. I'm going to put you back on the board with that. Now, this is what I called about. This is Master Lassay, the one that the light-skinned brother that hollers all the time, Takbir, when Imam Waraji Muhammad's having the first Sundays. from Brooklyn, 7C.
I know you. You from New York. You are from New York.
Yeah, Master Lassay. And listen, Allah told me to tell you this. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Now, this is for the whole community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, which is 3.5 million of us. He wants us to pray and give in charity. If we can't keep up our 5 prayers a day, at least dhikr in our mind.
All right, keep up the 5 prayers. Good talking to you. Thank you. All right, Lassay.
Okay.
This is Lassay, my man. All right, salam alaikum.
Islam.
Yes, sir. So you have about 1 minute, really 1 minute. If you want to say something, ask a question, or make a comment, or so less than a minute. So, I guess that's about it. I figured we'd have a little more callers. Perhaps y'all are just listening. And we thank you for doing that. We want you definitely to support the Muslim Journal, CWSC. You know, We have to be able to water, as my father used to say, we have to water all of our plants. We just can't put all the water on one plant. We have more than one plant that must be watered. We have to take care of our families. We have to take care of our prayers. We have to take care of our community, you know. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that the Muslims are like one body. When one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. When one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. Huh? So we can't say that's not our problem. We're not Arabs. They don't care about us. They don't love us. Why should we love them? Huh? Why should we love them? It's their problem. Let them deal with their problem. They didn't come over here and help us. Hmm? They didn't help us. They didn't care about us. No. We can't lose our humanity because other people lost theirs. No, we can't lose our humanity. We're not supposed to lose our humanity. We can't allow people to take our humanity. because that was their goal, taking out humanity. We cannot allow that. We have to be like Abraham, when they put him in the fire. They thought they had disfigured him. But when they brought him out the fire, he was still intact. Allah told the fire to be cool. So we thank you for listening to New Day Fight Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We pray that you have a blessed Juma, that you continue to be safe and healthy. Pray. Make extra stronger prayer, dua, for our brothers all around the world, particularly as they're going through this fitna in Palestine. Until next time, assalamu alaikum. Until next time, assalamu alaikum.